what Donald Trump did is it's not just a failure, and it's not just he's unleashed the problem of the global economy. It looks as if he has triggered the dispersal of uranium, this enriched uranium, inside Iran. And it doesn't have to stay dispersed just inside of Iran. It can leak out of Iran.
Wow. Things are going even better than I thought.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
That's right.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
Okay.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is the broadcast as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in LA and on dozens of other excellent affiliate stations on both the public airwaves and the internets around the country and the world, blanketing planet Earth. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me, from bradblog.com. Thank you very much for joining us today. Welcome to another broadcast as we try, anyway, to both let you know what you need to know without normalizing it. So let me say at the top, yes, we are in a full-blown war that continues to expand with no clear way out, and this is absolutely not normal and should result in huge banner headlines every day at this point. At the New York Times, at the Washington Post, etc. But for some reason, it has not resulted in that. It's being reported out as if it's, oh, you know, it's just the next thing that Donald Trump has done on any particular day. Crazy Donald Trump. Thus minimizing the madness of what is now underway. As a way to, by the way, distract from the Epstein files and allegations that the president of the United States raped a child when she was 13 years old, which served in turn to distract from the Donald Trump's disastrous mass deportation program and killing the, including the killing of three innocent American citizens on U.S. streets, and many more deaths of non-criminal, non-citizen detainees in custody at the hands of U.S. immigration agents, which also served to distract from Donald Trump's disastrous, unlawful, economy-crushing worldwide tariffs and the shutdown of the Department of Homeland Security in the middle of all of this because Trump and Republicans refused to require immigration agents to act with masks off and ID and body cameras on. And yes, there is much more. And yes, it's all going on at the same time. And yes, I understand that it is entirely overwhelming. It certainly is for me, but it's also the job of, well, it's my job and the job of the corporate mainstream media to both keep us informed of all of this and not treat it as simply, oh, just another crazy Donald Trump news story. These are historic events that will affect our nation and our world likely for generations, if only for the nuclear implications that are also included here that I hope to get to in a bit. And so, yes, they should be treated as the historic, nation-rattling, world-shaking events that they actually are by the nation's supposedly watchdog media. We're counting on you guys. Please don't fail us again. So with that little tantrum out of the way for the moment, welcome again to the broadcast where we try to help you understand and make sense of all of that, hopefully without wanting, you know, encouraging you to want to throw yourself off of a bridge in the bargain. Sorry about that in advance. As always, we do appreciate your donations and words of encouragement. To help, encourage us to keep doing so each day.
Indeed. And, of course, it is important to have a fully informed, fact-based voter. Yes, I do.
Do you think?
Citizens, American citizens need to be informed and informed accurately.
Hi, Desi Doyen.
Hi.
Our friend, regular listener, former longtime Weather Channel veteran meteorologist Guy Walton. You can find his work via guyonclimate.com on the web or Climate Guy W over on Blue Sky. He wrote in last night with a heads up via email to bradcast@bradblog.com, where you can also email me. He wrote in to say, subject line, exceptionally extreme week coming up. Hi, Brad and Desi. The hottest winter heat wave to ever occur across the southwestern U.S. in recorded history will commence over the weekend and peak next Thursday or Friday, with some locations around Los Angeles and at Phoenix seeing monthly March records over 100 degrees Fahrenheit and 90s all the way up to San Francisco. Snowmelt and wildfires, he continues, will become an even bigger concern from the Rockies into the western high plains. Meanwhile, a blizzard will move from the northern plains through Michigan in the Sunday through Monday time frame. Both events including some associated severe weather, like possible tornadoes, as I understand it, will be quite newsworthy and definitely, he says, climate change related. Cheers, and keep making those much-needed green news reports, Desi.
Fantastic news.
Always great and cheery to hear from our friend Guy Walton, isn't it? By the way, veteran meteorologist Alan Gerard also added on what is about to happen in that regard via Blue Sky. He said, how's about this for a wacko record? Phoenix all-time record March high is 100 degrees Fahrenheit. It was set one time. But the current forecast, he notes, has Phoenix hitting 101 degrees Fahrenheit or higher at least 5 days in a row, topping out at 106 degrees in the upcoming week.
Fantastic.
So, yes, wacko, but climate change related, even as we are sort of pretending that because Donald Trump is going to die soon and so doesn't care about it, and he gets a lot of money from the fossil fuel industry in any event, so we all sort of have to pretend that it isn't happening and that his gutting of landmark climate change mitigation efforts and his war on Iran is not making all of this much, much, much worse. But we will not pretend on this program, at least if I have anything to say about it. And as it's called the Bradcast, turns out I've got quite a bit to say about it.
True.
And to that end, Desi Doyen will also have our latest green news report on very related matters a bit later this hour. Got it? And now for the brighter news. Iran's new 56-year-old Supreme Leader Ayatollah Mojtaba Khamenei issued his first statement on the war on Thursday, saying that Iran's leverage of closing the Strait of Hormuz should continue to be used and that attacks on Iran's Gulf Arab neighbors will continue. Khamenei did not appear on camera. Israeli intelligence assessed that he was likely wounded in the war's opening salvo. Khamenei also called on Gulf Arabs to, quote, shut down U.S. bases, saying that promised protection from the U.S. is, quote, nothing more than a lie. In the statement read by a state TV news anchor, Khamenei vowed to avenge those killed in the war, including in a strike on a girls' school that killed over 165 people, many of them children, which, despite Trump saying on Wednesday that he knew nothing about it, a preliminary report by the U.S. military appears to confirm that it was, in fact, carried out by the U.S. on the first day of bombing Iran, the day after negotiations between the U.S. and Iran was said to have been moving in a positive direction. Though that was also the day that the cover-up by DOJ of Epstein files related to allegations that Trump had sexually assaulted a 13-year-old had also come to light in pretty much every single major corporate media outlet there is. But yes, the U.S. appears to now be responsible for having killed more than 100 school children because, if nothing else, former Fox News Weekend host turned Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has said over and over that he does not care about, quote, stupid rules of engagement during wartime. So, yeah, he's not going to be constrained by those woke rules of war that, you know, frown on doing things like bombing children at school, I guess. Those are for woke losers. As AP translated part of Thursday's statement from Khamenei, who by most counts is an even harder line zealot than his now dead father, who was killed on the first day of Trump's war. Khamenei said, "Dear combatant brothers, the demand of the masses is the continuation of an effective and regret-inducing defense. The lever of closing the Strait of Hormuz must certainly continue to be used as well. Studies have also been conducted on opening other fronts in which the enemy has little experience and would be highly vulnerable. Talk about some of those in a bit. Their activation will take place if the wartime situation continues and in accordance with considerations of expediency. Our sincere thanks go to our brave fighters who, at a time when our nation and beloved homeland have been unjustly attacked by the leaders of the Front of Arrogance," that would be us, I guess, "have blocked the enemy's path with their powerful blows and dispelled their illusions of being able to dominate our beloved country or possibly divide it. I assure everyone that we will not refrain from avenging the blood of your martyrs. The retaliation we have in mind is not limited only to the martyrdom of the great leader of the revolution. Rather, every member of the nation who is martyred by the enemy constitutes a separate case in the file of revenge," the new Ayatollah said. Continuing, "A limited portion of this retaliation has already taken tangible form." I assume that's a reference to those killed already in response, including the 7 U.S. service members. "But until it is fully achieved," he said, "this file will remain open above other cases. We will be especially sensitive regarding the blood of our children," clearly referring to the attack on the on that school. "Therefore, the crime the enemy deliberately committed against the Shajar-e-Tayyebe school in Minab and some similar cases holds a special status in the process of accountability," he said. And I share that not to valorize his call to arms or to even to try and frighten you with them, but to inform you about that and what Donald Trump has unleashed and has forced all of us to be a part of in our names. And that, by the way, those remarks come from a guy who just lost his father and his wife in those attacks by the United States and Israel. The statement signaled a willingness to continue the war that has disrupted global energy supplies, international travel, and the relative safety enjoyed by the Gulf Arab states, AP reports. Iran's unrelenting attacks on shipping, including several full-blown attacks and explosions of oil tankers in the Gulf, by the way, since we last spoke, and attacks to other energy infrastructure in the Persian Gulf, all of which pushed the price of oil back above $100 a barrel once again on Thursday, from about $57 a barrel, where they were before Trump's new war. Trump has meanwhile promised to, quote, finish the job, even though he claimed Iran is, quote, virtually destroyed, unquote. He said in a social media post on Thursday that ensuring Iran does not develop a nuclear weapon was a higher priority than soaring oil prices, though I will get to a bit more on that in a moment. Yes, it is more important. It is a higher priority than soaring oil prices, Mr. President. Too bad you made it so much easier for Iran or one of their proxies to use a nuclear weapon. The U.S. military said Thursday that American forces have now struck more than 6,000 targets since the operation began against Iran, including more than 30 mine-laying vessels in the Gulf. Iran-backed Hezbollah militants, meanwhile, launched some 200 rockets from Lebanon at northern Israel. Israel launched another wave of attacks on Tehran and in Lebanon, where at least 11 people were killed, bringing the total of those killed in southern Lebanon to more than 600, according to the New York Times, as Israel continues to battle Iran's proxy there. The UN refugee agency said up to 3.2 million people now in Iran have been displaced by the ongoing war. 3.2 million. It said most have fled from Tehran and other major cities to the north of the country or the rural areas, and around 800,000 people have been internally displaced in Lebanon, prompting fears of a humanitarian crisis. And I wonder if the people who lived in those places and who have been displaced and who have seen their mothers and their fathers and their children die are going to hold it against any of us in the future. Now, following yesterday's broadcast, I ran into my neighbor outside, and the first thing she asked about were these Iranian drones that were said to be targeting L.A., where we live, here in Los Angeles. And I had not heard anything about it at that point. And she said, yeah, she had just heard about it on the news that Iran was now targeting Los Angeles with drone missiles or something. She didn't know that there was a federal government warning about it or something, which, of course, immediately raised my personal BS detectors.
Yes.
Because after, she said it was coming from the federal government, I started immediately remembering, aluminum tubes that the George W. Bush administration claimed were being used by Saddam Hussein for uranium enrichment centrifuges, but in fact were later revealed to have been more likely for conventional artillery rockets, not for nuclear weapons, which was how that administration was hoping to scare up support for its ill-considered war in the Middle East. One of them, anyway. And also the specter of the babies ripped out of incubators in hospitals in Kuwait in advance of George Bush Sr.'s war against Iraq after they had invaded Kuwait, a story that was also later revealed to be nonsense. So that's what this kind of story of, Iran is now targeting us off the coast of California, they're targeting Los Angeles, immediately sounded like that to me. And ABC News may have been the first to break that story, which went this way in their original report on Wednesday afternoon. Quote, the FBI, who? Donald Trump's FBI? Cash Patel's FBI? Do I even need to go any further with this story? Anyway, the FBI warned police departments in California in recent days that Iran could retaliate for American attacks by launching drones at the West Coast, according to an alert reviewed by ABC. The alert, said to be distributed at the end, to have been distributed at the end of February, reportedly read directly, ABC quoting here from that alert, quote, we recently acquired information that as of early February 2026, Iran allegedly aspired to conduct a surprise attack using unmanned aerial vehicles from an unidentified vessel off the coast of the United States homeland. United States homeland. Specifically against unspecified targets in California in the event that the U.S. conducted strikes against Iran. We have no additional information on the timing, method, target, or perpetrators of this alleged attack, the supposed alert from the FBI read. That same report, however, at ABC News Today begins with an editor's note. It reads, quote, editor's note, the FBI has posted a fuller version of its alert to California authorities, which includes that the information was unverified. The latest version of this story has been updated with the full statement, ABC noted. Now, what was the full statement? Well, it included the word unverified right at the top. Quote, we recently acquired unverified information that as of early February 26, Iran allegedly aspired to conduct a surprise attack using unmanned aerial vehicles, etc. Well, that's a pretty big word to leave out of such an alarming alert, it seems to me. Nonetheless, it still sounds like nonsense to me. Unverified information about a surprise attack, well, I guess it's not much of a surprise anymore, from an unidentified vessel off the coast of the homeland against unspecified targets in California. Well, I'm sorry, color me not all that impressed and not all that worried. Neither, apparently, is California's governor, it seems. In a slightly more responsible report on this, AP leads its coverage this way today. California Governor Gavin Newsom said there was no imminent threat to the state, despite a warning from the FBI that Iran could send drones to the West Coast in retaliation for war. Newsom said drone issues, quote, have always been top of mind. We've been aware of that information. It's all about a posture of preparedness for worst-case scenarios, the governor said on Wednesday. Not quite the blaring, scary headlines that went out to folks in California, and well, went out to folks everywhere, but may have frightened some folks here in California on Wednesday. California officials say they are aware of information in various news reports that Iran could be targeting the U.S. with drone strikes. But it doesn't sound like it was a specific warning that was actually given to state officials. It kind of sounds like maybe they heard about this, you know, in the news along with everybody else. In fact, as White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt said on social media, according to AP, the message to law enforcement was a tip based on, quote, unverified intelligence, adding, quote, no such threat from Iran to our homeland exists, and it never did, she said.
Okay. Did ABC News know that before they decided to hype the headline everywhere?
They did not note that in their report. Jonathan Colep, who formerly served on the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force, told AP, quote, generally, bulletins are sent to raise awareness for local law enforcement on something that has hit the FBI's radar that they feel has enough credibility that they just want to raise that awareness. If the information required urgent or immediate action, Colep said, the FBI would be more likely to arrange a conference call with the need with the needed partners or make more urgent contact. You mean they wouldn't just let FBI know about it, ABC know about it, or post it to Twitter? Police in L.A. and San Francisco said they were monitoring world events for any risks to their cities. Both said they are working closely with state and federal authorities. But, yeah, it all seems to be pretty weak sauce to get worked up about at this point.
Yes, but I bet ABC got a lot of clicks out of that.
Well, and it wasn't just ABC. Other ones picked it up because ABC was reporting it. They all got it, and it seems to have alarmed. I mean, like I said, that was the very first thing I ran into my neighbor. She said, oh, did you hear about the drone attack on Los Angeles? What? And didn't you say you also talked to your dentist? And it was the first thing she asked you?
Yes.
I mean, so she was concerned. Was she concerned, or was she wondering, is this true?
She said, is this true? And I said, well, the alert itself appears to be real, but it is unverified, and California officials say that there is no imminent threat.
Yes, we are also the fact check sources for our own dentists, apparently. So, yeah, it is, like I say, pretty weak sauce, it seems to me, to get worked up about for now. Seems like there are some other issues that are worth getting worked up about. This does not seem anyway to be one of them. I could be wrong. And hey, the Brand Blog World News headquarters is just a few blocks from the Dolby Theater, where the Oscars will be over the weekend. I guess presenting a pretty good target, maybe. And yet, I'm nonetheless still not too worried about it for some reason. Hope I'm right about that. Not worried about that anyway. But it sure did seem to do a good job of freaking out my neighbor and Desi's dentist and other folks out here who are not, I guess, close news viewers or listeners to the broadcast. In any event. Now, if you start to hear Republicans at this point, like, I don't know, Lindsey Graham, just taking a guess, he'll probably be the first one out of the box with it. But if you hear Republicans out there like Lindsey Graham, and going to Fox News and talking about threats of drone strikes on California that we're now facing here on the homeland, well, how do we know that they are not really worried about that? That they're using that to try to get your support for this unbelievably bad decision that Donald Trump has made. And boy, does he make a lot of unbelievably bad decisions, but this one may top them all. So how do we know that a guy like Lindsey Graham is not really worried about, oh gosh, what might happen to California? Well, A, he doesn't give a damn about California. That much we know. But here's the other reason why we know that Republicans don't actually care about any of this. Senator Patty Murray, Democratic senator from Washington State, sought unanimous consent on the Senate floor on Wednesday to pass legislation to fund every agency within the sprawling Department of Homeland Security except for Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, and CBP, the Customs and Border Protection. That's right. Through all of this, Republicans have refused over the past month to reach a deal with Democrats to reopen DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, which has been closed, or partially closed, I guess, for almost a month now because Republicans refuse to allow guardrails for the out-of-control, deadly behavior by ICE and CBP on American streets. They refuse to mandate things like masks off and ID badges on for Trump's ICE and CBP thugs who are on the streets of America, killing Americans. Both ICE and CBP are agencies that are housed within the Department of Homeland Security. And by the way, they're just operating just fine, even though DHS is supposedly shut down. ICE and CBP are fine because they receive tens of billions of dollars from a totally different source, from Trump and the Republican so-called Big Beautiful Bill last year. So ICE and CBP, they're doing fine. But what is not funded at this time, and is, while DHS is in shutdown or partial shutdown, things like, oh, FEMA and the TSA and the Secret Service and, yes, in fact, the Coast Guard. Republican Senator Katie Britt of Alabama, she blocked Murray's unanimous consent request to fund DHS and everything in it, everything else in it. There's a lot of agencies in it, everything else in it except for ICE and CBP, making it clear that the Senate Republicans would rather continue the ongoing shutdown of DHS during a time of war instead of funding some of the programs under DHS. Said Murray during a Wednesday floor speech in the Senate, quote, Republicans are not only dragging their feet on the basic reforms, they are refusing to fund TSA, FEMA, and other important DHS functions while these negotiations continue. Murray's effort comes as the DHS-specific shutdown, which started on February 14, approaches a month with no end in sight. With spring break kicking off and TSA agents set to miss their first paycheck since this shutdown started. Airports across the country have been warning and, in fact, already seeing hours-long security lines before spring break is in full swing. But the Republicans apparently do not care. Congressional Democrats in the White House have been exchanging largely private proposals for a few weeks now on all of this, but the two sides have not made much progress, reportedly, as Republicans and the White House refuse to enact the key reforms that Democrats are demanding. Democrats as noted, are demanding to rein in ICE agents' recent lawless actions. And yet, while Kash Patel's FBI is supposedly warning about Iran, quote, allegedly aspiring to conduct a surprise attack using unmanned aerial vehicles from an unidentified vessel off the coast of the United States homeland. Well, even while the FBI is warning about, you know, taking shots at California and L.A. from a vessel off the coast of the U.S. homeland, Republicans will not even fund the U.S. Coast Guard in that case. So if you hear Republicans talking about being very concerned about this vessel off the coast of California who may do all this harm, keep in mind they're refusing to fund the Coast Guard. So either the warning is from the FBI is BS, or, well, Republicans are even more despicable than I have previously credited them with. I don't know.
Yeah, as always, watch what they do, not what they say.
Nonetheless, well, the new Ayatollah did warn about, quote, opening other fronts in which the enemy has little experience and would be highly vulnerable. So sure, all of that absolutely could happen. This could be one of those other fronts in which we are highly vulnerable. I suspect we're probably pretty vulnerable to a missile attack of some sort, a drone attack of some sort from a vessel off the coast of the U.S. homeland. So, but that one, for some reason, just does not particularly, I'm not particularly concerned about drone attacks here in L.A. or in California as a whole, correctly or incorrectly, I guess. I don't know. But there are, in fact, some actually verifiable, actually confirmable things that I do think that we should be much more worried about here in the U.S., not just in California, but in the U.S., and frankly, around the entire globe. I will hit some of those items next on the broadcast, along with the Green News Report a little bit later. I'm Brad Friedman. Don't touch that dial.
The Bradcast and the Green News Report are 100% independent, 100% listener-supported. But we can't do it alone. We need you. Please help us bring real facts to listeners at independent stations around the nation. Please drop by bradblog.com/donate. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
Welcome back to the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Also part of the Department of Homeland Security that Republicans refuse to reopen after a full month amid Donald Trump's war on Iran. CISA, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, you know, the nation's cybersecurity watchdog, despite Iran's new vow to avenge America's attack on their homeland. And Iran, as turns out, is very, very good at cyber attacks, which you would think that Kash Patel might have considered before he recently fired, just days before Trump's attack on Iran. Many of the leaders of the FBI's special counterterrorism unit that specifically deals with cybersecurity threats from Iran. But he didn't. He fired like the top people who specifically work on Iran cybersecurity issues. And the U.S. now is already paying a price for that, it would seem. As NBC reported last night, an Iran-linked hacker group has claimed responsibility for a cyber attack on a medical tech company in what appears to be the first significant instance of Iran's hacking an American company since the start of the war between the two countries. The company, named Stryker, headquartered in Michigan, produces a range of medical equipment and technology. Historically, Iran has conducted some of the most infamous so-called wiper cyber attacks on national enemies, aiming to simply erase all of the data on all of the computers' networks. So previous victims of this type of attack include Saudi Aramco, that's Saudi Arabia's national oil company, Saudi Arabia and Iran, of course, mortal enemies. That was back in 2012. Also, they did this to the Sands Casino, for some reason, in 2014. Since the war started, some established hacker groups sympathetic to Iran leadership have claimed minor attacks, but most have been relegated to briefly altering the appearance of a website and so forth. None have appeared to have major impact until now. The Stryker attack also appears to have deleted information from devices of people who work at Stryker. A Stryker employee who requested to not be identified said that employees work issued phones just stopped working, grinding work and communications with colleagues to a standstill. The Handala team, which cybersecurity companies say has ties to Iran's intelligence ministry, has claimed responsibility for the Stryker attack in statements on its Telegram and X accounts. Now, NBC calls it the Stryker hack. And I should say, this does not appear to be an actual hack per se, but that's what NBC is calling it here. I'll explain in a moment. Specifics of how the hack was conducted are not clear, they report, but public evidence of the hack points to the likelihood that hackers gained access to the company's Microsoft Intune account, which the employee confirmed, in fact, Stryker does use. Microsoft Intune, just so you know, is a corporate program that companies can use to control, to update, to install files, etc., onto employee devices like phones or desktops or notebook computers. They can, you know, install upgrades to their operating system and so forth. The Handala group seems to have gotten into the management council of Microsoft Intune via perhaps someone's account, you know, for example, through a phishing attack that gained their name and username and password or some other means. It does not appear to be a hack, at least according to Microsoft. From there, Handala appears to then have wiped employees' devices back to factory settings.
Wow.
According to an expert talking to NBC, one of the features of this Intune program is the ability to remotely wipe a device, for example, if it's lost or stolen, etc. It's built in to the Intune program. The expert says it looks like they triggered that for some or all of the enrolled devices. According to PC Magazine, Handala claimed to have wiped more than 200,000 devices and stole 50 terabytes of data, though those numbers were self-reported from the group and not independently confirmed. In a statement on its website on Wednesday, Stryker said the company is, quote, experiencing a global network disruption to our Microsoft environment as a result of a cyber attack. We have no indication of ransomware or malware, and that they believe the incident is contained, according to their statement. But hey, it's cool that Republicans voted just yesterday to not open DHS, which includes the nation's cybersecurity watchdog agency, CISA. Cool, right? So, yeah, there is reason to worry about Iran's ability to hack into U.S. corporate and public computer systems and networks, yes, even things like our electricity grid.
Oh, yes. There was a report back in 2020 that found that Iran was definitely trying to get inside of our electricity and water networks and utilities and even a couple of dams around the country.
Well, we will see if they did, I guess, if this goes on much longer, at least if you take the Ayatollah at his word, at the word of his threat on Thursday. But yeah, there's every reason to be worried about that, especially with the Trump administration firing the top FBI officials who are defending against that sort of thing. And Republicans keeping CISA shut down over at the DHS because they insist that ICE thugs must be able to wear masks when they are out on American streets murdering Americans. So that is one worry. That is one thing we should be worried about, more so maybe than drone attacks from a boat somewhere against Los Angeles and California. The other thing, however, that I am more worried about than drone attacks from a boat somewhere against California, more worried about than even cyber attacks, although on the electricity grid and the water system, that would be pretty bad. But yes, even more than that, on Tuesday, Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut came out of a closed-door U.S. Senate Armed Services Committee briefing, a classified briefing from the administration, from the Pentagon, about the Iran war. He chose his words very carefully as he came out of this classified briefing, saying that he believed the Trump administration is now on a path to putting U.S. troops on the ground in Iran, and he explained why.
We seem to be on a path toward deploying American troops on the ground in Iran to accomplish any of the potential objectives. I'm telling you that the objectives that have been outlined for this war will require boots on the ground at some point.
Now, any of those objectives, whatever they were in that classified hearing, none of them have ever been won by an air war alone. It requires boots on the ground. But it is not boots on the ground per se that I am most worried about here, though that is obviously a huge concern, being wildly, I think, underreported right now as a possibility. It's the reason that we would need to have boots on the ground, at least one of them. One of the reasons that we might need those boots on the ground eventually is because, as MS Now's Chris Hayes and Robert Pape, a decades-long expert in international security and terrorism at the University of Chicago, who writes the newsletter called The Escalation Trap, something that he has long talked about, how the U.S. and other countries get into these wars that you get stuck, that you can't get out of, the escalation trap. Hayes and Pape discussed this on Wednesday night, just before Trump's attack on Iran's nuclear energy facilities last June. Satellite images apparently revealed Iran removing thousands of containers from these facilities of what appeared to be enriched uranium in what looked like scuba tank size containers. Enriched uranium that Iran was able to make because Trump, in his first term, remember, tore up the anti-nuclear agreement that we had and that everyone agreed was working and that was preventing them from enriching weapons-grade uranium. Here's Pape describing some of that on Wednesday on MS Now.
What Donald Trump did is, it's not just a failure, and it's not just he's unleashed the problem of the global economy. It looks as if he has triggered the dispersal of uranium, this enriched uranium, inside Iran. And it doesn't have to stay dispersed just inside of Iran. It can leak out of Iran.
Oh, there's great news for you. And as they were discussing whether it was even possible for Trump to get us out of this mess at this point, Pape explained why, at this point, really, there are no good options because of nothing else. That uranium that he discussed, that Iran seemed to be removing from their nuclear facilities just before the bombing last year, so 8 months ago or so, which can be used, if not necessarily immediately for atomic bombs, it can be used in, you know, things like dirty bombs, suitcase bombs and such by Iranian militants and, you know, their proxies anywhere in the region, something we briefly discussed on yesterday's show with Roosevelt University's David Ferris. But that uranium has now essentially largely escaped into the wild with no easy way to find it, get it back, and contain it. Here's Hayes and Pape again on Wednesday night suggesting that there is no easy way out of this escalation trap with a potentially earth-shattering disaster ahead.
It seems to me, just to lay my cards on the table for what I am rooting for personally, is that he just declares victory and says it's done. Given a range of bad options, does that seem the best one to you?
I don't think it would be enough, Chris. He is on the horns of a dilemma. He had a possible deal with the Iranian negotiators the Friday before the Saturday when he kicked this off. We need to remember, there was an actual deal on the table that he turned down. Then he went and he killed a whole bunch, supported killing all these leaders. You see what I mean? So now the idea that we're just going to walk away and let this radicalized regime disperse all this material. Think about, we just went through Savannah Guthrie's mother, and we saw by day, the radius of expansion of where she could be was growing. This has been growing for 8 months inside of Iran. You've got 1,000 pounds of 60% enriched uranium, 10,000 pounds of 2 to 5% enriched uranium. We have satellite photographs out in the open of them moving materials at these sites. So what you are facing here, and this is why I think Senator Blumenthal is probably what he's facing. He probably isn't getting information like Donald Trump's going to do a go order with those troops. What he's probably seeing is that how else would you even try to get this enriched uranium? And then he's probably doing the natural calculation. If we can't find Savannah Guthrie's mother, how are we going to find that 10,000 pounds, that 1,000 pounds I just outlined, when they could be in scuba tanks? And this is a territory 2.5 times size of the Texas. And this is just a disaster in the making. I think we're probably only at the beginning of the real disaster. This is as it unfolds.
That's good news, huh? Disaster in the making. 1,000 pounds of 60% enriched uranium that seems to be lost in the wild now. 10,000 pounds of 2 to 5% enriched uranium, I think, is what he said there. A disaster in the making. Robert Pape, not exactly, you know, a crazy loon out there, has been writing about these concerns for decades, warning about these concerns for decades, saying that we are now in the midst of what could be the worst escalation trap in history. I started this show sort of angry already, right off the dime, about the media, the corporate media out there, and how they are covering this. And it is a lot. I understand that. There's a lot going on at once. There's a lot to make sense of here. It is none of it good. But this is damned serious. This is not just another, did you see what Donald Trump is up to today? Because even if he pulls out, even if he tacos out, he says, okay, that's it, we're done. We're great. Nobody's ever seen anything like it
in
the history of the world. We're won. We're out. We're going on to the next country. Let's bomb Cuba now. Whatever his next plan is, there are still thousands of pounds of 60% uranium potentially out there in the wild because of what Donald Trump has done, starting last June and now into this year. A disaster in the making, indeed.
Buckle up.
Hopefully we don't have to. I don't know, but it sure seems to me like the media ought to be covering this in much larger font headlines on their front pages than they seem to be doing right now. So if nothing else, hopefully we've raised the font a little bit here on today's broadcast. Quick break, and we'll come back with Desi Doyen, who's been raising the font size of climate crisis warnings for quite some time. Our latest Green News Report is straight ahead on the broadcast. I'm Brad Friedman. Hey, this is Brad. Please consider supporting whichever progressive media outlet is supporting you and the things that you care about. Most, just like us, do not receive corporate or political support. We all need your support to counter the powerful corporate media echo chamber. Right now, as much as ever. If you choose to support us, you can do it really easily, safely, and quickly via bradblog.com/donate. From Desi Doyen and myself, thank you. I'm nothing but good news today, huh?
As usual.
Nothing but rainbows and puppies, or whatever it is.
Rainbows and kitten farts.
There
I think,
you go. Yes. That's more like it. And speaking of kitten farts, here comes Desi Doyen with our latest Green News Report.
Certainly is the instability that's driving oil prices as we digest various headlines on what could or couldn't be to come.
International Energy Agency pledges to release strategic oil reserves in attempt to calm global prices. Now you see it, now you don't. California's snowpack is rapidly melting. Plus, study finds simultaneous heat waves and droughts have increased significantly thanks to global warming.
Thanks, global warming. All of those stories and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
I'm reading the New York Times today, and they're claiming that you guys were caught by surprise that the price of oil went up. Is that true?
Completely fake news there, obviously.
Is it obvious, Interior Secretary Doug Burgum? Because it kind of sounds like very real news. You guys didn't have a clue what you were doing. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, a little birdie tells me, specifically the birdie being our friend, extreme climate and weather researcher Guy Walton, that we've got a brutal week ahead across the country, all climate change related. So what great news do you have for us today, Desiree?
Yeah, it's going to be a wallop, and we'll have more about that in just a moment. But first, the International Energy Agency announced that 32 member nations pledged to release up to 400 million barrels of oil from their strategic reserves, the largest release in history, to curb soaring oil prices and the resulting economic consequences caused by Donald Trump's war on Iran and Iran's effective closure of the critical Strait of Hormuz trade route.
Great. Problem solved.
And shortly after, the Trump administration said it will also release as much as 170 million barrels from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve.
Things are getting better by the moment here.
Just for the record, Trump denounced former President Biden for doing the exact same thing to counter high fuel prices after the pandemic and Russia's invasion of Ukraine.
Oh, plus, I hear that as soon as they made that announcement, oil went up to over $100 a barrel again.
Yep. Global markets are gyrating wildly on the Trump administration's contradictory statements, like on Tuesday when the Trump White House walked back a false claim by Energy Secretary Chris Wright that the U.S. Navy had escorted an oil tanker through the strait, which did not happen.
Chris wrong, you mean?
Oil market expert Jim Burkhardt, in an interview with NPR, said that releasing oil from strategic reserves will not be enough to close the supply gap.
It can't, because the scale of this disruption is so large.
Analysts say that no matter when the war ends, it will take months to restore production and even longer for retail gas prices to fall. That may create backlash from voters against Republicans in the critical November 2026 midterm elections, according to political scientist David Ferris of Roosevelt University. On the broadcast, he noted that Trump and Republicans have helped ensure that Americans would be rocked by the destabilizing economic impacts of oil supply disruptions by blocking or canceling all of the incentives and policies that would have helped protect Americans' pocketbooks, like electric vehicles and cheaper renewable energy.
Partly as a consequence of their own intransigence about climate change, about the Green Revolution, gas prices still matter politically in the United States of America because almost everyone still drives a gas-powered car.
In other news, as we go to air, the central U.S. is grappling with another round of turbulent spring weather, bringing more deadly tornado outbreaks, flooding rains, and even a blizzard. The southwestern U.S. is baking in yet another unseasonal and potentially historic heat wave, with record-breaking summer-like temperatures as much as 30 degrees above normal.
Yikes.
A heat dome is depleting mountain snowpack in western states, particularly fast in California, putting at risk water supplies that the agriculture industry and cities rely on in the dry summer months. The persistent snow drought in western states after an unusually warm winter has forest managers bracing for a dangerous wildfire season this summer.
Yikes again.
And finally, a new study finds that intense heat waves that simultaneously trigger sudden, severe, damaging droughts are occurring more frequently around the world, and the rate itself has accelerated significantly over the past few decades due to man-made climate change. The researchers say the trend of extreme heat waves and droughts striking simultaneously highlights the dangerous interplay between rising temperatures and sudden, intense water scarcity, underscoring how climate change-fueled extremes can build dangerously off of each other.
Everything is going great. For much more on all of those stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report. Desi likes it hot. I know that.
Not a fan of heat waves myself.
87 degrees this afternoon, middle of early March, and we've got a hot week ahead, I'm told.
Indeed. Potentially even, potentially record-breaking, potentially even historic record-breaking, kind of like what you were saying in Phoenix, 5 days above 100 is... Yep. Is not normal for this time
and
of year.
And our friend Guy Walton usually gets his stuff right. So we will see. Buckle up for that as well. All right, we got to get out. My thanks to our producer, Desi Doyen, and especially to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us and tolerating me yelling at you for the last hour. It is greatly appreciated. It's not so, think of it not so much as yelling, but gently warning and informing the electorate as we head into election season. So you're welcome. If you missed any portion of today's show, you can download it anytime for free if you have the guts at bradblog.com, where you can share it with anyone you know or love or hate. That remains a free service thanks to those of you who hit the donate button while you're there. Fill out a form. It takes about 30 seconds. A single donation of anything you can afford, or better yet, sign up for a subscription of any amount you like. Or you can go straight to bradblog.com/donate to help us continue to yell at people day after day over your public airwaves. You can drop me an email if you like. I am bradcast@bradblog.com. Always good to hear from you if you have any thoughts on any of our stories today or anything else. You can also find me on the social medias where I am, especially Blue Sky, where I am the Brad Blog. And you can find Desi Doyen over there as well. What's your address again, your social?
Green News Report.
Oh, so hard to remember. Green News Report. All right, got it. We will see you there at all of the above. Until we see you here next time, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.